I was introduced to Latosha and Nevada Diggs through the Kehinde Wiley A New Republic catalog, for which she contributed two entries, both of which offer frank but nuanced responses to two of Wiley's equestrian paintings. One from Wiley's Posing and Passing series, Colonel Plaintiff, on his charger, which happens to be in the Moderns collection. I think some of you are familiar with that. And the other, a commissioned painting by the pop star Michael Jackson. And if you've seen the exhibition, that one caught your attention, I'm sure. Let's see. The first of Latosha's poems for the catalog was titled Son of a Negro Explorer Not at the North Pole, Colonel Plaintiff. And the second, Conflating Histories, is titled Nigga on a Horse, a Meta Comet, after Kehinde Wiley's King Philip II. I am so grateful for this introduction, which of course led to tonight's presentation. Through a very rewarding online search, I'll just admit it, I have gone on to learn that Latosha's varied and intriguing cultural contributions as an interdisciplinary artist, including the critically acclaimed Twerk, a 2013 publication of her poems by Belladonna Press, which I'm happy to say is available in the Moderns bookstore, apparently hit a nerve or met a need because upon release it was received with enormous exuberance. And if you've looked into Latosha at all, Twerk often comes up because of the enthusiasm around that publication. Latosha has also authored three chapbooks and an album, and the album Television, as well as having her work published in renowned publications such as LA Review, Black Renaissance, Noir, Nocturnes, Spoken Word Revolution, Redo, and Fence, just to name a few in a very long list. And as an interdisciplinary artist, Latosha's work has been featured at the Walker Art Center, The Kitchen, Yale University, Cal Arts, the Whitney Museum of American Art, and the Museum of Modern Art in New York. And again, the list goes on. In February of this year, she participated in the New Museum's Triennial, and in June, she was part of the Poetry Festival Berlin. And most recently, she performed in Jason and Alicia Moran's work songs in the curated exhibition, All the World's Futures, for this year's Venice Biennale. According to Tumblr, where you can learn more about and follow Latosha, 2015 has been and continues to be an extremely busy year, which has me all the more grateful for her accepting tonight's invitation. And with that, will you please join me in welcoming Latosha and Nevada Diggs.
Grateful for this opportunity. Thank you so much, Terry, and the museum for inviting me. So, let's start.
Props, flex, snare, simulate, lip dare, ventriloquist, guttural, how you craft scratch between teeth, you padrino, the concol du drone, crash, synth, optimus, rated M for mature. Lung distortion.
You basing gut. Name the gallon of spring you. The invisible NPC say yours is precious.
The heavy breath and reverb. Stomp of a triceratops.
Okay.
Ooh la la. Ooh la la. Ooh la la.
Pigeon toe. On the second menu, not descriptive like quiet and smooth, lean and firm, dry seems redundant. The comedic pause that carries so much in a tree lettuce, when the flesh breaker rangin namu glimmer free itself to become sky misty on the temple. A strait of islands set against a hazel setting in a west. Colo pollo. Morning is belated afternoon where morning dove and starling sing their melody of five song. With scratch at nickel cloud, showcase loose silver rayetas. Arroja. Their claws, carving tools, their beaks pick and sift gravel. It's said in a myth that the rooster was sent down from heaven to shape the earth. That the world was once all water. That the rooster no call out po kokohua. What you create with yours out of wood, metal, and lacquer. The descriptor begin again, dreamy reka reka inyare iamere. Aye. Dry is practical. Perhaps necessary for the lineage. The sky, neither dust nor Honolulu or soul. The sparrow melody, now tree are two. The manner of things arrive when the sun cracks. The pastel smear. In the end, e taku hao pumau poroto. The hair gladly protests shampoo. E taku tamatane tano. E taku tamatane nyaro moke moke. In the end, Gochira get devoured by a sand dollar. It's better than yours. She getting taught, him getting schooled. Frosty dips for me zook. Drown them clods in Kikongo dollop. Brother tell a rider, holla at your father. You and your caddy ricocheted you. Barrington. The seagulls crack clamshell sailors, bikini stuffing swell snails. The Navy Yard smiles chinky, cause they drown them clods in Kikongo dollop. Shante ya stay, them yacht fowl serve, swimming kaiso, hotel dry milk them lick mouth, holiday din acify, technique drop, Kikongo dollop, blacka blacka, erode pentameter, blacka blacka. Shadow, sachet, freak-a-lick, milk them hotel drive, Bombay, Donna, dime, true that father, charge them clots. Shante your thesis. Walk tick, short tongue, squint when your milkshake, drown them clots, charge them clots, seagulls on crack, blacka, blacka. Do, 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 do. originator.
Here's a remedy for your chronic whiplash.
Coming to your via trip ones on a mission. Papa Willie for originators of the flash. Check your dial and bots to rock before a fella dip dash. Grand to slam a party. Peep two needles in collision. Here's the remedy for your chronic whiplash. Flare your dome with a pinch of cheaper succotash. Got my avenue peeking in rapid circumcision. Papa Willie for originators of the flash. Ululate the call. God's never caught tongue lash. Tweak an EQ before my hash box double vision. Here's the remedy for your chronic whiplash. Got my tambourine for your partner. Now pass the calabash. Smile for the DJ when the cut spits. Peep the precision. Papa Willie for originators of the flash. Never fret what the beat can't establish in the trash. Master meter on Orion Starship blast with supervision. Here's the remedy for your chronic whiplash. Papa Willie for originators of the flash. Marmoto Monax Misrahi fees Chichi Mugler at the latex ball. Call the child legendary, tense across for broad, plump, agrarian fierceness. Marmoto Monax Misrahi served for a real this for decades. It was never about how she bought it. She was born with it. No one thought she could battle the twisters, thought she had retired to a burrow somewhere, but her arabesque they gagged and lived for. Her dip controlled gracefulness said it. Shablam, that's how you eat it. I'm in charge of the girls. Don't mind the stubby tray. It's not for you. The daughters thought they turned out the skewered with youth and long angular limbs, linear rigid action given to geometrics and dramatics, something young knees could withstand, but this bitch. The undeniable overness of Marmoto Monax Misrahi duck walk sealed it. Her exhibition punishing. Her attack position cougar cunt realness. Reinvention lowland vegan bush. The children were not ready. Twisters ate. Marmoto Monax Misrahi broke it down. Spun whirlwinds around cunts. Bypassing inflamed endorsements. Those short limbs with symmetry saying, let me get my life back. Packaged in Timberlands. White tube socks, black latex hot pants. Marmoto Monax Misrahi touched her wrist. She refused to be chopped, spins, catwalk, duck walk, dips, dips, duck walks, lollies, spins. The Marmota could not be denied. Work! Work, you woodchuck bitch! The crowd screamed 13 crowns of tens. The trophy placed in her claws. With her final bow, I love you all for loving me. Border Universe. Y'all doing okay? All right. I know it's a bit schizophrenic. So. Border Universe. Nyonka chutararani. Nyonka kani yuya kapakte una sueño. Inyonkanchis tianchis chitakunampi hatunj aki. Kunan, porque nyonka la luna ormanki pampampa, con miraku avalancha oicha, mi putigaruro personalmente. Yaranich inyi yar kankuna ayuspa, kankuna sutian kinchist y kankunan yandrai kumpa pakuna. Anchanku una futa suma. Kankuna chao chikichis, chao chukuna machu finya, nyonka yaupani sisikunani ipa ridasaupa, e manka poka yokya. Kepa orno, antanta kakachi, icha nyonkanchis, kankanchis sisikunan, akanrichit ataverad, in kasiwasi, gan, Kuya payanki para urpikunan, icha nyonka urmani panthampa o chuchune, e una saka orhia, icha un remedio naupa. I lie. I am a noble liar from a dream, and we live in a drawer, large, dry labyrinth. Right now, because of me, the moon falls over the edge. With my husky avalanche, or perhaps my sharp-pointed personality, I burn tiny witches to ash. You all nickname my flowers neon butterflies because they illuminate a gorgeous night. You all shake dress like old wrathful beggars. I add silly fat ants into a pot, break all bounds, subsequent to baking dense salt bread. Perhaps we will roast my aunt, spill the muddy truth in my vacant home. You feel sorry for doves? Perhaps I will fall over the edge or slide silently into a dense orgy. Perhaps an ancient remedy. So, the next set of poems I'm going to read are actually my responses to the work of Kehinde Wale. So, if you bear with me. I'm good? We good? Yeah? Okay. So. And I'll give you some little background information about the process. So when I was doing my homework on Kehinde's paintings, or maybe I should wait, I should shut up and wait. Keep this for the Q&A. I'm just going to read the poems. Ha ha ha. Ha ha. That's it. Okay. That's it. That's right. Colored hero of the Mexican bullring in death-defying feats of courage. Wreck a Texan manhandle, Papa Willie Lennox, in memoriam, Lone Star Picket. A mention shafts down. A tinned clad ankle. Dismount them galloping pintos. Dream of running bulls. Stunt double and cowboy and camouflage. the Alps of Edgecombe spiraling upwards, your own private rodeo. Not to be named Hannibal atop Anchises motif, within all we know is sepulchral midnight, Tito Noomsky, Cujo, patron of black writers, an imperial cherub in hood drag, Napoleon, a.k.a. Redbone Baronet, loosen the ilk, ink-faded bandana and forearm draped in royal gold. Bite my lip as if the bull trampled your cassette. Next image. Nigga on a horse. Our meta comment. Thud, throw away stud. Glove replace with rider lily leather. A mercury prance. Netherland contains a harsh winter. Crepe, cape, crusader. What is your krypton? Cashmere, sapphire, or peridot? Minor illusions to the hideous little monstrosity tabloids made you. Puritan cult, Bashir's spoilers, showcase your collection of troche. Do you mean to remind us of the Moors or about your noble New England bloodline? You know Gainsborough canvas, Indiana eleganza, a ribbon mare with tired eyes. Are you a prince or a knight? So black is it to mash up a few ruffles and rose bushes. Angels crown you saintly with a pine wreath, an invisible yet ratchet legacy. Dicks don't reveal vanilla bean cock. Daddy's belt can't hurt you, only little boy ass. Was earth ever enough for you? Depicted here, at least you are tan. Connections show of children, castles, and kings. Once a child with a gold sunflower neck collar. Once a Wampanoag sachem. Now you dead. Bad big cotton. Next image. Son of a Negro explorer, not at the North Pole. Hawk the rabbit, trim, darling. The iconographic halo shadows your stare. Whose barber makes the grooming regal? What do you point towards? Silver leaf children pray to your Nikes. Tangerine and blood and Japaned leather. Can you see father? Hold the pose, Henson's legacy, descended of Inuit, cloud burst of wonderful sexy. His is your bequest, seaman and Arctic booty. Clock wolves, rock the navigator. Hand over your barbecue whale meat. Polar bear and little Louis' French kiss. Mirror, mirror at the ball, walrus blubber carved with your sword. Foreign familiar. Lime cargoes reflect the cold tundra sun. Your name, Anahuacac of the polo grounds. Where's your father? Perp contests the dog sled as prop. Chiseled Arabian, your pallid companion. Bitch walk. And last piece, which is another response, but you'll see it in a second. Duck season, rabbit season. Four quotes. Sometimes the exotic can be right in front of you. Kehendiwale. In this photograph, you were lion-like, toothless, fraudulent. Uniglory, Jen Hoffa. Wide-ranging large carnivals like this bear are particularly vulnerable to becoming roadkill. Wikipedia. Knock on wood, I've never seen a game warden. Anonymous exotic animal dealer. Dia onte mensia tigri e lonte ki e gontan asuto a tigri kiri. Like an ill Manila cho'i, mosquito yellow, jacket, bumble, tasered, justified pounce on the not again, pleasantry of buffalo, antelope, and wildebeest, no persecution, plain clove, weave about chokeholds. Specter of an eye out of orbit, the hand of father reaches towards the heavenly chaplain for a Lucy. The traffic of street sport makes for call of duty a shielded hunger for warrants and arrests. Not gonna announce such a handsome wonderkin, how you carry yourself, how you exist, Oakland Panther, Simba of Tulsa, you yield my quota, Mighty Joe Young. The livestock auction shuts down online. The unbecoming conduct of a predator's reflects onto the character, carriage homebound on platforms. Suspect Zuni, Black Hyde, is by birth concealed arsenal, often claret, dusty sclera, admits too much umber must be never be mistaken for Bambi. When the hunter saw the jaguar, he ran for his gun and shot the jaguar dead. Jurisdiction on this isle maligned with Gender Marie blew office a weekend getaway far beyond ranches in Texas. Our sails on Rikers. You, my dearest gravy zebra, irresistible European badger. No, hostile Congolese honey, fallen on and foresawed by the city of St. Louis. Christ, you are a remarkable creature, aging, white rhino in a hoodie. Saintly you are, bejeweled wallaby. Sometimes the gamers caravan does not want the meat. They prefer to mount the head in mugshots. Oh, if only I could stuff you. You must luria pukien fulukubun fossi aye kotri strati apra. In passage, just a minor cabin incursion hazard. 'Tis easier to separate the head, pommel a fist into a feminine version, nihima. Our mother becomes Blutagi Island. Make way for stray puppies to clean the ground. Insatiable mutts drink a crura that is opulent and profound. They understand little difference between yours and a brush-tailed possum. Arresting brown boy. Laying in the unsullied cut grass. Comply. Or canoodle pavement. You need to teach the child to look carefully before crossing the street. Thank you.
Now, I'll take pictures of you until somebody asks me a question. Yeah?
Well, you started talking about the process in response to the poems.
Yes.
So you want to build on that a little
bit? Yeah, I can do that now. So when I was researching Kennedy's work, I found interviews. Some of his earlier introduced, he talked a lot about the question of not knowing what his father looked like because he was not raised by his father. So that part of the process of painting these portraits of this young man was imagining what his father would look like. So it becomes an earlier engine, right? So the question of who is his father, what does his father look like, became an engine for me. So it not only becomes a journey into looking at these black male figures in these in the manner in which Kekinde paints them, but also looking at them as the children of absentee fathers, right? So, and one thing I was really, that's always part of my personal engine, part of my creative engine, is finding the links, the messiness sometimes, between First Nation and African American, the relationship, you know, the historical gook, right? And so what I started doing was identifying these young men as the father, as the children of well-known African American men in our history. So Pickett, I don't know if anybody knows who Pickett is. I'm falling off of his first name, but he was a well-known African-American rodeo star.
Bill Pickett.
Thank you, ma'am. Right? It was like my name. I was like, I'm about to say Wilson Pickett, but that's not it. Right, but Bill Pickett. So I imagine one of them being the son of Bill Pickett. In the North Pole, the first African American to be invited to become a member of the Explorers Club, Henson, you know, because he had traveled to the North Pole with the other folks, right? And then there's some arguments that they didn't make the North Pole, but nonetheless, he was up there, right? And he actually did have a relationship with an Inuit woman, and they did have a son. Now, to my knowledge, I'm not exactly sure if Henson actually had a relationship with that son, but, you know, there are descendants of Henson, you know, within the Inuit community. So I imagine that particular painting being the son of Henson. And that became the engine for five pieces that I wrote, tying them in to these figures. Another figure who has a more of a, you know, messier history, Chief Buffalo Longlance, whose real name is Sylvester Long, who wrote an autobiography about being a full-blooded Blackfoot chief, which was not the case, you know. But him having a very, very complicated history of what does it mean for one marginalized group to pass for another marginalized group. And how it's not that easy to say, oh, they were just getting over. Particularly if you're looking at that time period between 1909 and 1932. So that, yeah. And also there's quotes from Erykah Badu and the guy who designed the sleeve jacket for De La Soul, three foot. And my brain is for now working 3 foot high and rising. Yeah. So,
could you touch on the Metacomet?
Metacomet is the actual Wampanoag name for King James. King James was a Wampanoag
King Philip?
King Philip, sorry, I'm sorry. Yeah. King Philip he led a resistance movement, and Metacomet is his actual name. So I kind of found it ironic that the name of the painting is King Philip, and there was a Wampanoag named King.
Did you find any relationship between that and the figure of Michael Jackson, or was that something you applied on top?
That's something that I applied on top, and then in a weird way tying in the ballroom scene.
Hi. Clicking. The click in the... Is that a dialect that you're bringing out in your...
It's a mashup. It's the clicking is actually a glottal stop from Quechua language, which is Runasimi, which is from Incans. So most people say Incans, but Runasimi is people talk. Most folks know it as Quechua, but it's a language that's spoken in Peru, in Bolivia, and a couple of other countries. It's one of several. And what I did with it was I gave myself permission to kind of fuse the glottal stop and latch it onto a couple of different other languages that had a K in their either their syllabary or their alphabet. And so English, of course, but Hawaiian, Maori, Samoan, Japanese, Cherokee. It's mashed up. So it's like, sometimes people think it's Osa, right? South Africa, but I'm not that good with Osa yet.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk a little bit about the linguistics within your work and the?
Sure. I know that the young lady was raising her hand.
I just wanted to ask you in more detail which specific languages you are using and why. Because I find that when I hear different languages, how they hit my ear, it's very interesting. And so I want to know more about which languages you chose and why you chose them and how you chose to use them.
The ones that I just mentioned, those I use. Spanish, some Yoruba, there is some Chamorro, not that much. There's some Papiamento. Papiamento is from Curacao, the ABC island, the ABC, which is Curacao, Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao. Papiamento is spoken there. Chamorro is from Guam. You'll have to look at the book. It's in the back of the book.
Oh, it's in the back of the book.
Yeah.
I will have to just buy your book and read it.
Yeah.
Speaking of the book, I find it interesting that, of course, the printed work doesn't benefit from the audio and technology. Can you tell us about the technology and how that's worked into your poems?
So what is the question?
Can you tell us a little bit more about how the technology, the digital technology, affects your work?
It affects the recitation. So when writing it, there is a sort of composition I am thinking about, but
the intention is not to remain within that composition. So depending upon whether I have a cold or not, affects how I'll recite it. And because I've worked with electronics, largely a lot with other musicians working on their projects, it becomes another tool. It becomes another language. And so it's always a bit of a balancing act in terms of listening to myself, listening to how much of this I want over that, you know, or this, you know. It depends. Yeah. Hi. Yes.
First of all, I want to say that was really impressive.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. Okay, I think I have three questions, so I'll try and make it. So my first question is, when you're done with something like this, what is the transition like? Okay, in speaking, like I guess, in
when
one
I'm done with...
You were then speaking in all the multiple languages, mm-hmm. transitioning back into speaking into one language is it hard? I guess hard your thought process. I would assume so. And also, what sort of influences do you have? That's two questions. They're completely separate.
So yes, the transitions. Yes. Okay. Por ejemplo. See, this is what happens. So yes, I think sometimes the transitions gets a little tricky for me in my head. But I will also add to that I approach these not from a position of being fluent, right? So fluency is one thing. The nerve, the audacity to approach them is another thing, right? And so sometimes I give myself permission to mispronounce because I'm doing something really wacky and it's almost near impossible unless I was a native speaker. Right? And there are many native speakers that are multilingual, that can, their brains can switch from one to da-da-da-da-da-da-da, no problem, right? In a way, I'm saying, hey, I want to do that too. So it happens. Even with the English, it gets a bit jumbled. And then you said, what are my... It's so broad. Netflix.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. The original question the gentleman that asked that had how you started. You talked about First Nation and African American. What's First Nation?
First Nation is another way of saying American Indian or Native American or Indigenous, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Your work is provocative. One of the things I wanted to ask in relation to your emphasis on African American Native issues, how does your work translate back into the inner city culture of spoken word, and how do they respond to your work in a way that connects?
You mean the spoken word community? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think one, that's a really good question, because honestly, I'm not sure if I can answer it. I come from the spoken word community. I come from a specific era in the spoken word community, right? And I come from the understanding that spoken word is a large, is one term for various different forms of spoken word. Dub poetry is a type of spoken word. Slam is another type of spoken word. That they all fit, that spoken word itself is just basically saying the oral tradition. So Canadian sound poets are thinking about the spoken word. I think, I don't know what the slam community thinks about me. I mean, I don't slam. But,
we can see the influence of being engaged in it, but how does it translate back into those urban areas of consciousness?
Urban areas of consciousness. What do you mean by that?
I mean, your work deals with some very provocative issues that impact urban communities. Have historically, but how do they grasp your work in a way that impacts
do their thinking? I really don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Is there another visual artist or painter like Wiley that has inspired you to create a body of work in poetry?
Like a series of poems?
Yeah. Or was it just him?
Kehinde was a situation where I was invited to respond to his work. I knew of his work, but I would have never like sat down and thought about the things that I began to think about until I was asked to do that. I attempted a long time ago to write a series of poems responding to William Cordova, who was, do y'all know him? Yeah. So Peruvian cat, a visual artist, sculptor. So I had begun to write a series of stuff responding to his work, and that ended up turning into a whole other rabbit in the hole. Because it was his, he had a series of pieces dealing with Tupac Amaru. Tupac Amaru too. So you said, you're talking about Tupac Shakur? You think about Tupac Shakur? So here's a fact. Tupac Amaru Shakur is actually named after the resistance leader, Tupac Amaru too, right? Who led a resistance movement in, I'm going to get my years very, very wrong, so don't say Latasha doesn't know what she's talking about. She's just, in 1781, led a resistance against the Spanish crown. The movement was, of course, pummeled, and then he died very, very tragically. He was quartered. The Spanish crown ordered that his entire family be killed because they wanted to make sure that the line of Tupac Amaru was never coming back. So Afeni, Tupac's mom, as in an attempt to protect his identity from COINTELPRO, named him Tupac Amaru. So that's the story behind Tupac's name. But no one thinks of the tie of like an indigenous movement in Peru being called upon by a Black Panther. So,
different terms, schizophrenic, mashup, and then earlier on when someone was asking about what you come up, like how the music or how the sounds come out of, it almost kind of heard you saying that it's somewhat spontaneous. The music that you're choosing or how you're accompanying spoken word is that right? Is it
I use the spontaneity, yeah. But there's a map.
So I guess so that's sort of a setup question. And so you're using all these different languages, all these different logics. Mm-hmm. But then as I'm sitting here and watching and listening to a performance piece, I'm kind of getting lost in all of the space. And I'm wondering what the intent of that is. Is it to sort of deconstruct any one of those logics or those, deconstruct each one of those cultures by throwing them all together? You see, like, in a way, like, this sort of...
I think part of it is deconstruct, and then part of it is acknowledgement. To acknowledge that people that speak these languages exist, and they don't exist outside of the U.S. They actually exist right around the corner. He's just like,
it's hard to find, like, in as a piece as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you can't be like, ah.
Yeah.
So, and like, I thought it was very interesting right afterwards. Everyone's looking for some meaning. Mm-hmm. Trying to, like, what were you trying to say about it?
About?
Each and every piece is, everyone's looking for, like, a historical context or, like, trying to pull it,
mm-hmm.
pull it strings to find what she's saying,
mm-hmm.
you know?
It's a conversation.
Yeah, that leads me to ask a question that's just come up. It's is there a sliver of acknowledgement also of the fact for many of us in this country in terms of English not being adequate?
Or
English, the English language not being adequate to describe our experience as multicultural people, and or maybe, I don't know if this comes up for you at all in your work, is the privileging or overprivileging of English as the expressive, you know, dominant language.
Yeah, I mean, I think when in the process of writing the book, because the book... Well, one thing about the book is that some folks assumed that it was a project that I sat down and said, I'm going to write a book doing this. And this was actually like a 17-year collection of poems that didn't necessarily have, were meant to be beside each other. Right, that these were things that I was thinking about over 17 years, and I wrote this 15 years ago, and I wrote that. And the one thing that I kept on thinking about, that I'm always thinking about, particularly with English or Spanish, our Japanese, our French, our Portuguese, our... that these languages are imperial languages, right? And that I wanted to figure out a way to somehow, in Latasha's brain, bring to attention languages that are not within... that are not within these spaces, that are held too much, too high, right? Like you said. And that in a way to almost see him as, to see English as a type of ghost of a past history that's still around, but why is it around? What is its purpose? What is its purpose? And why am I attempting at the least to find the roots to these other languages. Another thing that I was thinking about was particularly my lineage. And so there's this team, this artist group, Jen Hoffa and John Pluckner. They have a collective called Antennae, and a lot of their work revolves around language justice, right? And they were posed with the question from an African-American woman in New Orleans who basically said, I appreciate what you're doing, but it's hard for me to grasp this idea of language justice when there was no justice given to me, to my history. Meaning that our language was completely ripped. So as an African American, all we have is English because we do not have that direct thread, that direct link to whatever language our ancestors might have spoken, right? So, and I thought a lot about that in terms of why do I enter some of these languages? Because I'm curious if I'm connected to them. So.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. How are your dreams? Do you your dreams into your work? I mean, do you have, if you do, what percentage would you say? Because that's another level of consciousness.
I was about to say something very naughty about dreams. My dreams.
When you started out, I'm like, oh my goodness, she's been in my head, you know, and just so many things coming from so many directions. That
sometimes I dream about the ability to curse out somebody in another language. That
are you talking about dream aspiration or dream state? Like
dreams.
Are you talking about like your aspiration to, you aspire to be able to?
No, sometimes in my dream, I'm actually able to curse out somebody in that language. And then sometimes when I get into like a situation where my ego wants to like, then I aspire to curse out that person in another language. So. Yes.
Can I get your trajectory or a couple of your trajectories and get your response? So this trajectory is Robert Browning, the British poet, famous for poetry on artwork, to the American side, current day, Laurie Anderson, the multimedia performer. You seem to be in that world. Within that trajectory. So could you respond to that as to how you see yourself?
With Laurie Anderson, I used to play the violin in high school. And so when I first became aware of Laurie, I wasn't doing any of this. So I saw her like, oh, wow, that's great. You know, but I had not reached this point of thinking. I wasn't even a poet when I first saw Laurie's work. So I can't say she was an influence, even though now, yes. But back then it was like, oh, wow, she's so cool. But say again?
At that point, and a reflective influence. You realize I can play off of this.
Yes.
Right.
I'm still figuring it out.
Can I give you another trajectory?
Sure.
To the questions about multiple languages, I think probably the reflection on the paintings was a kind of a bricolage response, where you collect responses and bring them in and play them off each other. So a list of poets here who often incorporate multiple languages, Ezra Pound, and then come forward to an obscure sound poet, perhaps you know his name, John M. Bennett, out of Ohio.
No.
He mentions a good bit of Spanish and English and utterances and gestures in his poetry. Inside that tradition of poetry, how do you see yourself? Especially in just playing with the languages, and sometimes you go for meaning, sometimes you just go for effect, right? Mm-hmm. And I think you said that earlier, you just go ahead and try out the language, not being a native speaker, not necessarily meaning it as a native speaker would, but putting it into a context of other words, just so you can see how it sounds and to play off of that in your performance.
Thank you.
We probably should call it a night, unless you see one more out there.
Yes, the lady with the hat.
Hi, I think your work is wonderful, but I have a question. To what extent have the likes of Gil Scott Heron and The Last Poets influenced your work?
I would say Gil's Last Poets is influencing me now, and it's because, and as well as Gil Scott. Now, I've known of their work. I know Abby Ondun. You know, I actually put together a tribute to Gil Scott Heron, revisiting his work a couple of years ago for the Black Rock Coalition. So, Last Poets is influencing me now because how do you respond to everything that's going on in this country, right? In a manner that is perhaps without or maybe 50% less of the experimentation that I do, right? Like, what is my role as an artist in response to everything that's going on? And so Gil and Last Poet's work is really making me think about that stuff now. I think, if anything, Jane Cortez's work is probably more of an influence upon my work, having to do with surrealism, having to do with music, not just musicality within the words, but music working with musicians, right? And I do that a lot. For me, I kind of keep my setup solo because you got to pay the band, and I don't make enough money to be paying the band, so I don't want to embarrass myself and ask a bass player to carry a big old bass for $50. So, but Jane's work is heavily influential to that, as well as Edwin Torres, who is another sound poet, Puerto Rican poet from the Bronx, who does a lot of work where he's questioning Puerto Rican, Boricua, Neo-Rican identity, right? He challenges the reader or the listener because he's not exactly saying, I am a Neo-Rican, right? So, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just one quick question, because I'm a techie. What are the different devices?
You're a techie? Okay, so this is a small setup. So this is a mini Mackie, right, mixer. This is an Alesis AirSynth. It basically functions like, it's the Thurman that you can afford because Thurmans are too expensive. And it has a whole bunch of preset sounds. This is the Chaosillator. It's a little tiny AirSynth. Not an AirSynth. AirSynth functions. Right. This one is a touchpad. And Cork Chaosillator. Alesis AirSynth. They don't make these anymore, but you could probably find one on eBay. And then the TC Helicon Voice Live Touch, which I really didn't play much tonight with, because you could do loops and stuff. But, yeah. Thank you so much.